get.
I have turned to hymn number, or rather page number, 107. Father, whate'er of earthly bliss thy sovereign will denies, accepted at thy throne of grace, let this petition rise. There's three verses, page 107. Does that come back out of everything? Page 156. I come back out of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, oh, fix me on it. Mount of God's unchanging love. I'm sorry that my glasses don't suit me. They're new ones. I'll have to go back some more. So let's stand and sing that. We'll pay 157.
Yeah.
like to read the first, portion of the first chapter of Ephesians, perhaps the first 14 verses, which is the same scripture that I tried to talk from this morning. I doubt whether I shall attempt to offer anything concerning this, but there's some wonderful things here, and if you, when you get home or when you have opportunity, to turn to the epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian brethren. And I call your attention again to the fact that these epistles, every one of them, were written alone to the Lord's people. They were not written to the world. They were not pertaining to the things that, for the most part, the world can understand, but rather they pertain to those things which the Lord has taught and does still teach his people through the Spirit, in bringing them out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. And this is the only way, my brethren and friends, I hope that you realize it. This is the only way, that is the things which Jesus and the Spirit of our God has laid down in the scriptures for us. This is the only way that we know where salvation comes from, who the Lord's people are, and what preaching the gospel consists of. This is the only way. This book here gives the way that God himself has laid out, fixed, for the redemption of his people. And it is so plainly written that those who have been taught the Spirit of God know just exactly what these writers were writing about. There are many things here that we cannot understand so far as the flesh is concerned. But when we have been brought through the experience and the experimental things which God teaches his people, then we will realize that we believe the scriptures, all of that, to be true, because the same Spirit that God gave and commanded to write this wonderful book, he also has revealed in our hearts so that we understand what the matter is all about. So that's the reason. Now, there are many things in the Old Testament that I, of course, do not understand. I have not been a student, you might say, of the Old Testament as I should like to have been. But now and then I run across something that is recorded in the Old Testament that testifies of, as I only hope, some of the things that have been revealed in my heart. Isaiah, in the 40th chapter, I believe it is, he said, comfort ye my people. Now remember, this was many hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus, but he wrote under inspiration, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that she has received at the Lord's hand double for all of her iniquities. Now, this is looking forward, I'm sure you will recognize, this is looking forward many hundreds of years from the time of Isaiah unto the fulfillment of these things when Jesus was here in the world. And so what a wonderful thing it is to have these things open up to our understanding. This morning, I will say now that the only way that we understand the things about God is by revelation. All scripture is given by revelation, and it is possible for doctrine, reproof, correction, and so forth, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished under every good work. So the doctrine of God our Savior is entirely a work of revelation. And we can't understand these things except by revelation. Peter, you know, was answering Jesus when Jesus asked the question, whom do men say that I am? Peter was answering for them. And he said, "Art thou Christ, the Son of the living God?" And Jesus answered that statement that Peter made. He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now that's what we insist is the truth today. It isn't by attending schools and learning certain texts and certain things by heart so that we can talk about them, but it is by the revelation of Jesus Christ through the Spirit of our God unto the Lord's people. Now, I know that you will remember that I have always said that the Lord's people are those that the Father chose in His Son Jesus Christ before the world began. He did not just promiscuously choose or promiscuously write these scriptures, but He wrote them unto those that He loved and that He had given His Son Jesus Christ. And as we have Jesus saying to us, "I came not to do mine own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. And this is the will of the Father that sent me, that of all that the Father hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." And so we see we have a firm foundation for all the scriptures, but we cannot understand them except that they be revealed, as Jesus said to Peter. Now may we look to the Lord in the word of prayer. My gracious Father, we come desiring to praise thy name, to lift up thy name, exalt thy name above every name that is named. We give thee thanks that thou hast provided a way for all of those that thou hast loved, whom thou didst choose in Jesus before the world began. Thou hast provided a way that they should be made known, that they are of that choice that thou hast made. And that is by revealing, by sending forth thy Spirit into their hearts and quickening them who were dead, bringing them to that new birth in which they realize full well that there's a great change that wrought in them over the things that we were once had pleasure in, and that the Lord has so ordered it that He reveals to us and we receive it and rejoice in it. It's a mystery. I've often, my brethren, my father, as thou knowest, that I have often insisted that before thy people that this is a mystery. They cannot be understood by the things of the flesh, because Jesus said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh nor whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." And so, gracious Father, we come before thee to give thee thanks that thou hast been a very present help in every time of need. And we pray thee to send forth thy Spirit into our hearts, because we realize that we're weak. We realize that we cannot understand except thou dost send forth that Spirit. We pray thee to give us grace that we may walk circumspectly, that we may be careful in our conversation and in telling the wonderful, glorious things that thou hast done for thy people. Because, O Lord, there's so many terrible things that are going on in the name of Jesus in this world, which are no kin at all to the things that Jesus and the apostles preached. We thank thee, and we hope that thou would be pleased to continue to bless this people gathered here, to bless them that they may continue to believe and to rejoice in and contend for the faith that thou hast once delivered to them. Oh, how we need thy grace. We poor, weak, needy people. But thy grace has always been sufficient. And we pray thee to give us faith that we might yet look unto thee, O Father, and have faith, be given faith, that we know that whatsoever is thy will, that thou doest. May we be given grace that we might run our race
that thou hast set before us, each one of us. May we run the race with patience, ever looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. O Lord, where we are out of the way, because sometimes we cannot even think aright upon thy word, were we out of the way either in doctrine or order, would thou send forth thy spirit into our hearts and turn us to the right way, we pray thee. Lord, be with thy people here and everywhere, for thou hast the people everywhere. They are just as dependent upon thy grace and mercy as we are, and thy grace and mercy is sufficient for every last one of them. Be thou therefore with us, we pray thee, all the way through this life, and then save us at last in heaven, we beg for Christ's sake. Amen. Now I'll try to read this the best I can here. This is the first chapter of Paul's epistle to the Ephesian brethren. And as I said, this was the text or the portion of scripture that I tried to use this morning. And I enjoyed speaking from it, to it. And many seem to think that they enjoyed it, of which I'm glad. But I'm not going to try to preach from it or use it as a text, only to read it as best I can, hoping that you might be given of the Spirit inners to read it and that the Lord will open up the matter to you. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, which first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now that's what I read and used a portion of it, at least this morning. That is a wonderful thing. Just a few words are on my mind. It's a wonderful thing that the Lord has been pleased to reveal unto poor sinners unto his people while they live here in this world, reveal unto them to such an extent that I have made this remark that heaven begins below. And if I could, I won't take time now, but perhaps maybe sometime later, the Lord willing, I would say what I understand this to be, that heaven begins below. And the Lord, he sent forth his Spirit, revealing in the hearts of his people his way and the reason for his sending his Son Jesus Christ into the world, his people might be redeemed from all their sins and all their iniquities. But now we claim, as you know, all the Lord's people claim, I make mention now, that they don't boast about these things because they're too sacred. But we believe that the Lord reveals to us, causes us to know that he is our God, and that his mercy is even extended unto us. And he reveals, as he said, you have the equipment who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And not only that, but follows up by doing as Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now you may not have noticed, as I have, that so much in the last 6 months, or maybe longer, that has been written, talked about, being born again. There are very few people, though there are many that talk about it, that as I would say, and I understand, that know what it means to be born again. Now some have said, and I received a lot of pamphlets, tracts, not so awfully many, but some of them, and every one of them that I have received in the last few months takes the thought this way, that we can be born again. God has fixed it that we can be born again by accepting, by believing that Jesus is the Christ. But now, my friends and brethren, it's far deeper, far more important than that, because Jesus must be revealed unto us, and in the revelation unto us who, as we only hope we are, and have the reason for the hope that is in us, he reveals these things to us, and he causes us, and this I know from experience, that this, the first time that I ever had any idea, thought, that I was so blessed, as I felt to be, that the Lord had chosen me, that I was one among that number, was when I was given to see what Jesus meant, talking to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now there's a lot of difference in being born again, in its true meaning and application, than just merely to say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Peter, I remember, said, to sanctify the Lord thy God in thy heart, and be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh thee the reason of the hope that lies within you with fear and trembling. Now, this hope is produced in the child of God by the revelation and the realization that he has been born, or is born of the Spirit of God. And being born of the Spirit of God, we learn spiritual things. Just the same as being born in a natural way, we learn natural things, but we have to be born. God has so fixed it that we must be born of the Spirit of God, else we do not know anything of the spirit, of spiritual things. And so this is the thing, these are the things that I have been now for 50 odd years contending for, that God himself chooses his people. Before the world began, according to scriptures, and we believe that, he chooses his people out from the world. He gave them to Jesus Christ, his Son, whom he did send, and as it was foretold, he would send him into the world for the purpose of redeeming the Lord's people from all their sins and all their iniquities. And that is the only way
by the sacrifice of Jesus, the Son of God. That's the only way that poor sinners are saved. Jesus gave himself. God gave his Son Jesus Christ as a sacrifice to redeem us, that is, redeem his people from all their sins and all their iniquities. Now there's nothing that you can do, nothing that I can do. God has fixed the way. There's none other name, Jesus, it is recorded, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is, we can be, can if you want to be, can if you will do enough, but we must be. His is the only name. That's the reason that preaching Jesus and him crucified is such a wonderful and beautiful text to have felt that he has been revealed in our hearts as the Son of God. And he's told his people, he said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore the loving kindness have I drawn thee. And he made it perfectly clear, lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. And so, my friends and brethren, with these few remarks, I would have you to be refreshed in your memory and in your feelings, I hope, that salvation is by the grace of God unto his people. Now, if you have felt, and I trust that all of you have, I know not how to say it otherwise, that all of you have been brought along in the way that the Spirit teaches us that salvation is by the grace of God. He shows us, first of all, what vile sinners we are. And then, when we made the mourn and beg, pray for mercy, he reveals to us that he loved us with an everlasting love. Now, some people don't know, don't feel to realize, or even to be interested in the hope that the Lord's people talk about, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. I don't find that scripture in all the Bible is more wonderful than that, in hope of the eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. So you see, that corroborates with what I said. Salvation begins here below. It doesn't begin in heaven, but you have the evidence given to you right here and now. So it begins here, and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise that I read there. The Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now I'll read another verse before that, and this one again to get the connection. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And so, my brethren, what we receive here, in, as I was expressed it a while ago, what we receive here comes from God. It is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the earnest of it, and which means that we have a little foretaste of it. You know, the word earnest means that, as well as other things too, but mostly that we have a little foretaste of it, and that when we put money up as an earnest for to seal a bargain or good faith or whatever we may call it, but when we are brought into the fullness of that thing, when we, for instance, I illustrated this sometime, that we buy a piece of property and we have to have the deeds made up and all of these things, you know, but in order to seal that, we give, say, $1,000 on a $10,000 piece of property. But now that $10,000 is the earnest of that goodwill, and as a promise to pay the rest of it. But in this sense, when you buy the farm or the property and you pay $1,000, when you pay the other $9,000, it's same money, the same identical money. That settles the whole thing. But now, what God gives you here, in
in bringing you along, giving you hope, looking beyond this world of trouble and sorrows and desiring sometimes to come into that faraway land, as it were, where Jesus is. Why, when we come there, I don't know how to explain it, of course. I couldn't explain heaven and immortal glory. I don't know what it is. But I do know, brethren and friends, I'm not afraid to say this, that the joy and the peace that the Spirit of God sends into the hearts of his people when he brings them out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God gives them grace, and they go by faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. And so when we come into heaven, as I said, I couldn't describe heaven, but we have a little taste of it, a foretaste of it here in this life. And so when we rejoice and be exceedingly glad and feel assured of, without a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus is our Savior and God is our God, heaven is our home, then we will receive not another token of this thing, but we receive more of the same thing that we receive here when God begins to work in us. I don't know whether I made myself clear or not, but that's what it is to me. It's if I pay you $10,000 in cash, whatever it may be, then we would believe and understand heaven to be, and to consist the joys and peace and so forth of heaven, to consist in more of the same peace and joy that we receive here in this life. Isn't it wonderful to think that heaven begins here? We don't wait till we die to know whether the Lord has loved us or not, but he loves us. He sends his Spirit into our heart. He causes us to love him and to praise him and to know that all of our salvation comes from him, not from any works of our own, not for any combination of works of ours and his, but by grace he is saved through faith, and that not for yourself. May the Lord be with you. Now somebody selecting him. Yes.
I think this is the first time I ever had the spotlight put on me.
I think it is.
Well, you deserve it.
No. Now, if you want to be turning to page 168, the last hymn on the page. Sing it all. It's a little long, but we like to sing it all, putting in the verses after, putting in the chorus after each verse. I read the first one. Now to thy praise, eternal King, may all my thoughts employ, while of his precious truth I sing, cast down, but not destroy. Let us stand and sing.
Thank you.
Our gracious Father, we humbly hope that we're thankful unto thee that thou hast been so gracious and merciful, kind and long-suffering to us, Lord. We can but acknowledge what we realize we were not fit to be remembered of thee. And, O Lord, to whom shall we go? Thy servants of old realize, as we humbly hope that we realize, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Bless this congregation, O Lord, our God. Bless the members that make up this band that meet here from time to time, monthly. Bless us, O Lord, with thy Spirit, and teach us that we may rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Be thou with us while we live. Save us in death. May thy name have all praise, honor, glory, now and evermore. We beg for Jesus' sake. Amen.